Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
On this episode of T-Bone Speaks, we have another flashback episode for you, where T-Bone was interviewed by the Dental Guys. Enjoy.
Well, this is Wes, the Dental Guy, and it's good to have Tarun Agarwal with us. And many of you know him as T-Bone, and he has a dental podcast and many things, really. And I guess the first time John and I probably knew about T-Bone was from Dental Town.
Yeah.
How long were you?
I joined Dental Town in 2000
as
a subscriber. Yeah. I mean, it was like we're probably one of the first 100 people on.
Right.
And then we started, Samir and I started the meeting for them in 2002.
Right.
And we ran that till 2012.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun.
Super.
Yeah. And, you know,
good times.
And that has given way to, you know, speaking at the meetings, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
You've had a lot of that over the years on different topics, and we've kind of followed that. And, you know, that really maybe leads us right into what one of the things we want to talk to you. And you've probably been asked this question 5,000 times, because
right,
we see the topic of the townie meeting, and it's, you know, stop doing fillings and crowns, right?
Yeah.
So what happened to your practice over the years that you kind of felt like it was time to start making that kind of change?
Why are you an ambassador for this?
Well, so, you know, the truth is I haven't got there completely yet, okay? But you have to set wild, crazy goals. You have to be ambitious to even achieve 90% or 80% of it, okay? So my goal, I know I've said in the past that my goal for 2017 was not to do any fillings whatsoever. No, truthfully, that's almost impossible, because if I'm doing a quadrant of crowns, let's say, and there's a filling that needs to be done, you're going to have to do it, right? So the real goal is actually to have only one patient per day that contains fillings for me.
Okay,
and my thing with fillings is not that they're bad or not fun to do. I mean, they're kind of mundane and boring, but is that they're low productivity. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I want to raise my bar to a point where I'm not doing anything that's low productivity. And the other side of it is it's also something that is totally dentist dependent. In other words, you know, and I can't imagine there's any state that doesn't require the dentist to prep the tooth and all of that. So even if you have an EFTA and they can do the filling, you still have to go in there and do the prep and all of that. And quite honestly, most dentists are control freaks by nature. So I can't imagine that they really want to turn over the filling of the restoration.
Right.
So
will that ever work? I mean,
what, not doing any fillings?
I'm saying
turning it over to EFTAs, because
even the prep.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, or even just film. I mean, what do you think about it? You think about EFTAs doing composites, you know?
Sure.
You good with it?
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I think anybody can be trained to do it. I think some people are going to take this the wrong way, but I think at the end of the day, if you're a dentist that only does restorative dentistry, you're a mechanic.
Mm.
And I don't think you need all the education that we've gone through. I don't think you need the grades that we've had to achieve to even get into dental school.
So there's a difference, what you're saying, between a doctor and a technician, and you want to be the doctor.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I at the end of the day, I think if you're doing fillings and crowns, you're a mechanic. Okay, you're finding holes, you're filling it.
So is this mentality though driven by like the idea that, you know, there's some people out here that say that we're diluting our profession?
Diluting or diluting?
Diluting. Okay. Yeah. So basically,
that's already happened and started. So what are you going to do about it?
Well, I know, but that's the thing is that we. You know, I don't.
Well, and a lot of it's just commoditizing. You know, that's one of the ideas. But is that it already is there.
Yeah,
it's already
so
there.
So what are we supposed to do? Not embrace it?
Well, but what you're doing is you're saying, well, okay, it is a commodity. You've kind of embraced it. You said, so I'm going to move past that.
Look, 80% of what we do is a commodity. Okay, there are those of us that can build a practice based on our personality, based on our brand, based on specific skill sets that we have. But generally speaking, a dentist is a dentist is a dentist, and whether we believe that or not as a profession is irrelevant. In the consumer's mind, that's what they believe.
Yeah.
You know, and insurance has been part of that. Well, I don't know if it's McDonald's necessarily. We held in higher esteem than that, at least.
Sure.
Okay. But at the end of the day, insurance has made it that you want to go to a network provider because we vetted the network providers and we know the vetting is a signature. Okay.
Right. It is.
Mm-hmm. So we've allowed ourselves to dumb down our profession to that degree. Mm-hmm. And we've allowed ourselves to create a situation where we're not getting reimbursement at the level that we need to. For the time and expertise that we have. And that's my challenge with people for fillings. At the end of the day, you know, if I were to be honest with you, John, and say, do you like doing fillings?
I mean, it's not my favorite thing.
Okay, so then why the hell do you do it?
I guess you do it because it's part of the comprehensive dentistry.
Okay, great.
It's part
of comprehensive dentistry. What people misunderstand about what I'm saying is I'm not saying get rid of it out of your practice. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying you stop doing it.
But honestly, though, he's exactly right. Is like when I sit down and I see, and you know this, is that what I'm passionate about is implant dentistry.
Sure.
I love to place dental implants, but I also love to do crowns.
Right.
Like I would rather do a crown than do a filling.
Yeah. I will tell you that crowns are limiting too, but let's get to the crowns next.
Right,
okay?
Yeah.
But because you have to, everything's a crawl, walk, run. Run,
right,
correct?
Exactly right.
So
your idea is that you're saying, you know, not that they're bad, not that we shouldn't be doing, but that you yourself.
I did say you shouldn't be doing them.
Well, right, but you would like someone else to be doing them in your practice.
So what people listen? I want to make the distinction between a practice and a business. Okay. Now, business is a dirty word in so many people's minds. Okay, mm-hmm. But a practice is something that provides a living for me. Okay. In other words, I want to make 150, 200 grand, whatever the number may be. I want to live a good life. I want to be an unbelievable family man. I want to drop my kids to school. I want to pick my kids up from school. I want to work 4 days a week and boom.
Yeah.
That's the life I want to live. Have a practice.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think there's much greater things out there for all of us. And I say you should suggest you having a business. And what happens in a business is that you expand your range of services so that you can capture a greater market. You want to bring in auxiliary providers, meaning another dentist, whether it's a partner or an associate or whatever it may be. So you can have that person slowly do those things that are now that you can let go of.
Yes.
And so that your practice can still be a business.
Right.
And see, ultimately what happens is if people really follow through the concept of what I'm trying to get at is they'll realize that they can have more time off.
Yeah.
Because if I asked you, how much time do you take off?
How much time per year?
Yeah.
3 to 4 weeks.
Is that enough?
You always want more.
Okay. So why don't you take more?
Good question.
Okay, but no, in all seriousness,
why don't you take more? Well, because I guess you have a certain amount of production that you have as a goal.
Okay, so fillings are keeping you from doing that production.
Good point, right. So you're saying I'm going to change that game.
I'm saying that you need to change that game.
Yeah.
At least, how about this? I want to appeal to those people who find my message appealing.
Sure.
You know, if you're happy doing fillings and making 150 grand a year,
you're
whatever the number
is. You're not going to change that person.
Right.
I don't want to change that person.
You're looking for the people who feel that.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that either.
Right.
But if somebody can be that true to themselves that they say, you know what, this is the life I want. I live a good life. You live better than 90% of the people in the world, 95% of the people in the world, 90% of the people in this country. Why would I want to change you?
Right.
But if you see something greater for yourself,
yes,
then, you know, and it really boils down to having a tough session with yourself of really figuring out what motivates you. So I'll ask you, Wes, how much time do you take off?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
I would say, I'm looking back at my wife there, I would say probably 4 weeks at least, yeah.
Is that true? Four? Do you have, how many?
Not
do you
counting Fridays, though. I mean, we can't.
Yeah. No, you can't count Fridays.
Yeah, right. So, because that, yeah, four weeks.
4 weeks, yeah. Okay. So what's the most consecutive weeks you take off?
Two at Christmas time.
Why don't you take 3 weeks off in a row? What's your wife's name?
Laurie,
would you like him to take 3 weeks off? What prevents you from taking 3 weeks off in a row? I see it in your eyes.
Probably production.
Fear.
Yeah,
fear. No, but don't say
exactly.
It's not production, it's fear.
It's true.
Okay?
Yeah.
So because at the end of the day, but it's more than just the fear. Now let's dive down. So this is what I'm trying to get people to do, okay?
Okay.
So let's dive down to what's keeping you. Would you like to take 3 weeks off? Because your wife would.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay, do you have kids?
Yes.
How many do you have?
Two.
Yeah. What are the ages?
11 and 7.
Okay, so your kids are like my kids are 7, 9, and 11.
Right.
I only hesitate because they were 6, 8, and 10 for so long. It's so easy for me to say it, okay?
Right,
in the last month, they've all gone from 6, 8, 10 to 7, 9, 11.
Right.
Okay, so now I should just give it to the 9 and say 7, 11. We'll be the perfect Indian family because we all own India 7-Elevens. Awesome. Okay, so your kids are young, okay?
Right.
So the truth is, look, you will, if you talk to anybody that is older than us, okay, or has kids older than us, okay, they will tell you they grew up like that, right?
Yes.
Get the time that you can with them.
Right.
So your wife would like to take 3 weeks off in a row. Your kids would like you to take 3 weeks off in a row. So why don't you? So what are the reasons that... Now we're going to answer the question now, okay? I'm going to put you guys on the spot. So what are the reasons you don't do it? What are your fears?
Well, fear of... I guess, really, it would hurt my practice because I'm a single doc practitioner.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So why don't you bring somebody in?
Well, you and I've talked about that. It's like, how do you get to that point?
Get rid of fillings and crowns and let them do them all. And focus your... Free your time up to be able to focus on those things that bring you joy and those things that bring you the production that you've had. Because at the end of the day, the real fear is we're afraid of losing that production, correct?
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
fillings and crowns at the end of the day produce X amount
of
production.
Well, that's the thing is like that in our mind, I think, is our bread and butter is fillings and crowns.
And it is.
But,
okay, it is.
But I feel like too, like, whenever you walk in the operatory and it only takes 10 minutes to place a dental implant, and that's $2,000 versus...
No, it's not $2,000. It's $3,500.
Well, that's true. Well, I'm just talking about the surgical, but the time you restore it, it's...
But you're a general dentist, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
So you have both ends of it.
Yeah, $4,500.
So an implant is not... How often do you... No. So this is the other thing that drives me nuts. How often do you place an implant and not restore it?
Never.
So the implant procedure, the tooth replacement procedure is $3,500 or whatever the number is. It's not $2,000.
Right, right.
Okay, because in fact, I would say you're more profitable, hopefully, on the back end of that than on the front end of
like
it.
I spend like 5 minutes in
the overhead
room after
is
that.
Much less.
Right.
Yeah.
So even time-wise and even all of that, right,
so
to restore
very,
it.
Very
okay?
profitable.
Okay,
yeah.
So do me a favor, and when you say an implant is $2,000, that's not true. As a general dentist, the implant procedure is $3,500, whatever your fee is, to include restoring it.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So why don't you do more implants?
Man, I'd love it.
Well, why don't you?
I guess I don't have enough time to do more implants.
Because you're busy doing?
Busy doing crowns and fillings.
Okay.
Yeah,
and do they pay nearly as well?
No,
okay.
They don't.
All right, so I mean, it's logical when people, what happens is they get this whole thing in your head that I've lost my mind, and I have. I'm certifiably crazy. A board certified psychiatrist has told me I'm crazy. I sleep with her every night. Okay, well, most nights. Okay, not every night she can handle me. Okay, not I mean, my snoring is what I'm talking about. Okay, but I just want people to see that dentistry can be so much more. It can be whatever you want it to be. Okay. And what I hear from you is that you want to do something different, but your mindset is stuck in doing fillings and crowns.
So what I'm hearing is it's kind of like the medical model is what you're embracing. Is you're saying you bring in the nurse practitioner. That's kind of the
it's
same
a
idea.
Dentist, though.
Right. But yeah. You're saying, though.
I'm not saying you bring in a denturist.
No, I know, but you're
like
saying you're delegating to an associate dentist, for instance, can do these procedures.
Yeah.
And you bring them in. You allow them to do the most they can do at
and
the
they,
beginning.
Hopefully they can replace themselves, too.
Right, exactly.
In other words, they can graduate. Because hopefully what will happen is, in my perfect model, which I haven't achieved yet, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, because some reason I can't keep associates in my practice. But that's a different problem, okay? But I shouldn't say I can't keep them. I keep finding... Anyway, I don't want to say anything like that, okay? So it's a two-way street. Okay, so in the model is you like doing what? Single-unit implants get your boat?
Yeah, I like that. Okay, I like hybrids, too.
Okay, great. Yeah. So would you rather do hybrids or single-unit implants?
Man, that's a tough call. I love single units. And
but there's going to come a time where you don't like single units anymore.
But I like the challenge of a hybrid.
Okay, yeah. Great. Right? You see. So what's going to happen is what I want you to do is set a goal that 5 years from now, you only do hybrids.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Okay. That's your big goal.
Well, whatever your
and
goal
then you
is,
figure
right?
out how
but
you're
your goal
get
is going to change, right?
Right, right.
At the end of the day, what it really boils down to is, and I don't want to put either of you on the spot, but I'm going to because
no,
that's just what
you.
I do.
That's
okay?
good.
No,
that's good.
So what should not every month that you personally have to produce? 50 grand, 60 grand.
No. I strive for about 70 to 80.
70 personally.
Yeah, yes.
Okay, yeah. 70 to 80. Yeah. So basically, you need to do 2 hybrid cases a month, 3 hybrid cases a month.
Yeah, yeah. That's the good.
Okay,
times,
so then why the hell are you doing fillings and crowns?
Yeah.
Okay,
I mean,
because
that's a great question. But I feel
so
like
we got to work backwards.
Right.
Okay?
So how do you get there? Is the thing
step
is
by
like,
step.
Right.
So marketing and driving.
Sure,
patients
sure, but that's
to your
a,
but you're saying the first thing is just delegate to fillings and crowns.
Yes.
And then start freeing the time up, doing good treatment planning.
Yes.
And driving marketing. And
yes.
And that's what you're
because
trying to do.
Because that's what got you to the point where you could even do those things is your brain.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
Right.
So when you're
right.
doing fillings and crowns, I hate to tell you, you're not using your brain.
Mm.
Okay, it is mundane, like repeatable, stupid dentistry.
It
sure?
is right. It's monotonous.
Sure. It's monotonous. Okay,
right.
So my question is use your skills in a way to grow your practice to become a business. Okay?
Sure.
So now part of this also comes back to my other message, which I failed on in the first 5 years, 6 years of my career, is that the challenge is when you make that transition, you're going to take a dip.
Mm.
Okay, and you need
that,
to,
I think that's the fear.
But you
that
need to
I
be
have.
Prepared for that dip,
yeah,
right?
But you're
fear.
Not prepared for that dip.
No, I'm not.
Okay, so here's my other passion is I want everybody to have a personal and professional savings plan.
Mm. Okay? I agree. Yeah.
So ultimately, the way I look at that, and we're going to go all over the place.
Your financial. There was a guy that you have had on your podcast mm-hmm. several times, and I'll never forget you saying about like how you've handled your purchasing and mistakes you've made.
Yeah.
That's me, man.
Yeah.
Like I'm you.
I made them all, right?
Yeah.
But so ultimately what I did, the best thing I did is, and so I graduated when I was 23, started my practice at 24. I didn't save a penny until I was 32.
Mm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So the first 6 to 8 years I did stupid shit, okay?
We all do.
Do you guys curse on your thing? You'll
bleep we'll
out,
that.
It's
whatever.
Not a big
okay.
deal.
Yeah, it's not
all
a
right,
big
whatever.
Deal.
It's my normal language, okay? I want to be respectful.
Nah,
okay?
No, we're good.
So, you know, I didn't save at all, and I had the ability to save. I made dumb decisions, okay? So what I try to tell everybody coming out of school is you need to make your savings plan a bill, okay? So it needs to be a mortgage. Like in your life,
yeah.
you have bills, correct?
Right,
you have
right,
a mortgage.
Right.
Maybe you have student loan payments, whatever
mm-hmm.
it is. Those get taken off the top end
right.
before you
yeah.
even see any money, correct?
Right. You don't
right.
even account
yeah.
that
you don't
at all.
No,
account
you don't
that.
Even
you don't
see
have
it.
That. You don't have
right?
that. Yeah.
So I have a savings plan, and I'll share numbers, okay? Because I'm an open book. So when I started, my number was $1,000 a month. Okay, because I had never done anything like that before,
right.
and I started saving $1,000 a month, and I didn't even know it was gone.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then it went to $2,000 a month.
Right.
Then it went to $3,000 a month, $4,000 a month. Okay. And it wasn't like it went there in 5 months. It went to a period. I did, you know. So I started a little bit late, so I was making good money at the time, okay? So I went from 1,000 to 2,000 and a quarter,
mm-hmm.
okay? And then I went from 2,000 to 5,000 by the end of the year,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because I never noticed it. My lifestyle never changed.
Yeah.
Right.
One bit whatsoever. But I started noticing that occasionally I'd check my nest egg, let's call it. I call it the FU fund,
mm-hmm.
okay? okay? Because ultimately that's what it is. It's my ability to say I don't have to do this anymore.
Sure.
I want to. I want to practice till forever.
Right.
Okay. If I won the lottery tomorrow, I would open a free clinic and do nonprofit dentistry.
Yeah,
okay.
I
love
yeah.
what I
yeah.
do.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I want that FU ability to be able to say, you know, I don't have to do this.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Or I want that ability to say, you know what? Like right now, I toy with the idea of opening a nonprofit clinic.
Okay. Yeah.
And I want to be able to do that. And the reason I say I can do that is, you know what? Because, you know what? If something happened and that I sold my practice and I failed, I say, you know what? I've saved enough. I'll get enough from the sale of my practice that I'm my.
But it doesn't matter. That doesn't matter.
Okay,
you can
there.
Do that.
Right. I won't live like I'm living now.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But I can.
But
I can
you can make it work.
You can do that.
I won't be a pauper. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
I won't be a burden to my family.
Yep.
How about that? Okay. So ultimately, I've created that number every month, and it just comes out of my. It just comes out.
Right.
It just automatically withdrawn from my bank. I never see it. I never notice it.
Mm-hmm. And so when you have that dip, like you talked about,
I've got a rainy day fund.
Yeah, you got that.
You've got a rainy day fund, and I do that for my practice too. Okay. So the other thing I do for my practice is I keep 2 months of production.
Right.
Okay. 2 months of collections. In a rainy day fund for my practice.
Right.
It's a lot.
Okay.
It's a lot. More than most people, I think.
But no, most people don't have half a month.
Well, I know, but if you talk to a CPA, a good CPA,
yeah, sure.
they
right.
would say
well,
a month is about like what a lot
so
of them recommend.
What happens if you get injured for a month?
Right, man. You
right.
don't have your disability's not kicked in probably yet. So
most of us have disability plans that kick in after 60 to 90 days.
Exactly.
Right.
So
what
you've got 1 month, and then you're having
toast.
To front that, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're toast, right?
Right. You're dipping into the rainy day fund.
So ultimately, now at the end of the day, if you do both ends, if you do practice and personal side, you know, if worst case scenario, if you only have let's say you only have a month of practice, mm-hmm. you can go to the personal
right.
to fund this, right?
Sure.
Okay. So it's two ways, right? But I like to keep 2 months of collections in a rainy day fund, so I can do. What I call stupid ideas.
Mm.
So I can take risks with my practice, okay, so that when I wasn't ready for the associate, because I think people bring in associates at too late of a point,
mm-hmm.
okay, and I think to a certain degree the mistakes I made is I brought them in 1 day at a time, 2 days at a time, 3 days at a time, and I should have just gone full bore with it from the beginning,
mm.
okay, because then what team senses or what you sense is you're not fully committed, right?
Yeah.
So when you jump off the cliff, you find a way to swim, right?
True. Mm-hmm.
Or die. What,
right, one or the other, yeah. Yeah.
Depends if there's pool at the end, right? If there's water at the bottom of the cliff. But so you need to save 2 months of your practice collections. And see, the problem with people do it is as their practice grows, they forget to put that money aside. Okay. So, for example, in the motel business, we keep 10% of our annual collections in our update fund.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because
mm-hmm.
the franchises require us to update TVs, mattresses,
yeah.
All this stuff, right? And you don't want to get, and when you're talking about, you know, a 200 room hotel, you don't want to suddenly have to buy 200 TVs, 200 mattresses, 200, you
right.
know, furniture sets. You don't want that $500,000 bill. Like that, right?
Right, right?
So you have to budget it out as an expense.
Yeah. Right.
So the same thing needs to happen in your personal and professional life.
Gotcha. Okay. And so that way, when you get to the point where you say it's time to delegate,
yeah.
and you know for a little while you're just gonna be working on building that in your schedule,
yeah.
you're gonna be low production wise, yeah. but. You're
lower,
right?
Okay,
lower,
not low,
right?
But lower,
because you still got an associate that's turning
is still
it out,
producing, but you're not
right.
as a
yeah,
person.
So you're going
right.
to take a small cut,
right? And you're going to be happier.
And,
yeah.
and by the way, I believe that all owners should pay themselves as associates.
Mm.
I think you should pay yourself 30% of what you collect
mm-hmm.
as an associate, and then you should take a dividend check as an owner in your case, 100% of what's left over.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So because what happens then is you can divide yourself into, hey, I'm making this as a dentist. I'm making this as an entrepreneur.
Mm.
And if you were to go away for a month, and let's say you were able to stick somebody else, your evil twin in
mm-hmm.
for a month, you would know that, hey, listen, I'm going to lose or make X down as a business owner, but I'm still going to be able to pay this yeah. person 30%.
So it shows you the value of being a business owner
yes.
versus just being
an associate. Good concept.
If,
yeah.
there's even,
like
if there's even
if
a
there's
value.
Value.
You,
right, because some people are
literally
better off as an associate.
Yes, absolutely, and I
business.
Think that's ultimately some people have to make that tough decision sometimes. Is
yeah.
they have to take a again. So ultimately, people say about goal setting. I'm not the best at goal setting, but I'm just less worse than most people. Okay,
mm-hmm.
is I think you got to work backwards. You got to dive deep into what the real cause is for all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think too. Like you know, I look at some people and they were never meant to own a business,
right?
And that's fine
from
but
a personality standpoint.
There's a difference in a business and a practice.
Right.
That's true.
You're right.
Okay.
You're right.
Yes.
But
right.
but the business, I think, is the concern is that, you know, there are certain personalities that are just not cut out for that and that's okay. And you're looking for those people, it sounds like.
Well,
is that right?
Dude, DSO dentistry is built on those
right.
people.
Right, right, right.
I mean, they will be 30 to 40, 50% of the dental marketplace in the next 10 years.
Right. They're building people directly for what it sounds like you'd like, though. I mean, you want those guys. You want the guys to come in and say, I'm cool with that. I want to make 150 grand.
We can't have all chiefs.
Right? I got you.
A tribe can't be all chiefs. a kitchen can't be all chefs, right? You got to have cooks too, right?
Right, absolutely. Right. So you need that kind of person who comes into your, if you have that business model, I want somebody who's doing fillings and crowns and that can be cool with that and that can learn some stuff.
Yes.
But on the other hand, they're okay with the fact that it's a learning process and that's what they're here to do.
As long as, we can get into the whole associate mentality in a second. But beyond that, what I think we can change the course of dentistry if we can get 5,000 people a year to adopt the philosophy of hiring an associate.
Hmm.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. And here's why I say that. So we graduate 5,000 people a year.
Mm-hmm.
North of 60% of them go join DSO practices. Not that there's anything wrong with that, okay?
Right.
That's a business model that works. I'm a capitalist at heart, okay? So I believe
it's market-driven.
Listen, if our owner dentists are too stupid to figure out what drives what the void was there, okay, and somebody else is smart enough and money enough, have enough money to fill that void, shame on us.
It's true. It's nobody's fault but ours.
Okay? Yeah.
It's ours. It's our own fault, okay?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, organized dentistry like the ADA and all these groups do nothing because they're run by old farts that have no earthly idea.
Well, and they got people on the boards of some of these companies. Yeah, that's
politics. Okay,
yeah,
but at the end of the day, our leadership is old people that left practice in the 80s and 90s.
Yep.
And my other saying is, we practice in 2017 today, but our business philosophies and practice principles are guided by 1980s dentistry.
That's exactly right.
So you do things the way your dental school teacher taught you, who last practiced in 1980, probably. Okay, and so at the end of the day, it's a different world. It's a different market. You know, the other thing I try to tell dentists to help them understand is, you guys are young, so you may not understand this, but if any of your parents practice dentistry?
Mm-hmm, my dad did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did your dad ever spend any $15,000 on any piece of equipment in his practice?
Never.
What can you buy today for less than $15,000?
Nothing.
Okay, so you tell me how your dad's business principles even remotely apply to today.
It was an amazing, tough transition,
because
it wasn't even close. Close.
So our dentists and our mindsets and even education is guided by these gurus who have never owned or operated a practice in the last 10, 15, 20 years. Even in dentistry, it's changed in 10 years. I mean, 10 years ago, like a digital pan was cool.
Right.
I mean, today, like a digital pan is like substandard dentistry.
Exactly.
Okay, I mean, you could go from a $30,000 pan, now you got to spend north of $100,000 to even be in the ballgame.
Right.
And so I think, unfortunately, we're being misled and we're being misadvised by, we're allowing it to happen.
But you're saying, again, that if docs could learn the value of an associate and set these types, whether it's exactly like your setup or it's just the idea of a mentorship situation, then now you're advancing that we are doctors, we're professionals. That's what's going to bring you would say is going to bring dentistry to where it should be rather than bringing it to a lower common denominator. Is that what you're saying?
I don't care about that part of it.
Okay.
Okay. I don't care about the look, I don't worry myself with what our profession feels our denominator is. Our profession is going to do what it does. I'm only worried about myself, okay, and those I can help and touch. But then that's all I can worry about, right? So, I want to go back to your point.
But you said, though, that you feel like this could help dentistry.
It can,
yeah.
If dentistry wants it.
Right. But if it doesn't, the main thing, you're going, hey, I'm going to do it.
I only care about myself.
Mm-hmm. You can't change everything, is what you're saying.
I do care about others, okay? But at the end of the day, I can only control what I do, right?
Yeah.
I can't control what you guys are going to do when you get back, okay? But my hope is that I can create a disruption, not change, okay, disruption in your thinking to open your mind to broader horizons.
Sure.
Okay. So, but see, one of the things I'm hearing from you is that I have a specific, I don't want to say methodology to it because it's not, but ultimately what happens is you've gone to CE events, right?
Of course.
So have you gone to I break down CE events into there's what this is this weekend.
Yeah.
It's fun. You don't really, I'm not saying you don't learn anything, but you don't learn
no,
anything.
No.
Okay.
Right.
Because
right.
Everybody, I'm given 50 minutes to talk. I mean, there's only so much I can talk about in 50 minutes, right?
Sure.
So I can't really get you to get buy-in, but I can get you exposure.
Right.
Okay. I can get you exposed to an idea. And then the next step is workshops and things like that.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So CE events are like that. So when you go to workshops, what's your biggest complaint when you get back?
Biggest complaint after getting back?
Yeah, it's usually implementation.
Yeah, you have to implement it
because, how do you get your team on board?
Okay, so now really dive into why that's happening. What happens when you get to the office Monday morning?
You got to do fillings and crowns.
But beyond that, you just got to go to work,
yeah,
right?
You got
to
make money.
So my question to you is, if you're going to go to a workshop that you believe you felt was important enough for you to fork out thousands of dollars, time away from your family, get on an airplane, do all those things that we, you know, people like me ask you guys to do at the end of the day, then let me ask you this. Why are you not scheduling Monday morning off as a team meeting?
And that's been something that we've done.
We've been doing the spear continuum as an example.
Right.
And yeah, that's what the first time we went out
there. Why aren't you taking the team with you?
Well, that's what we got to do. And they have a team program now.
And still,
and
you got to have huddles at night.
Right. Yeah, you got to make sure that it's actually.
How are we going to do this?
Yeah.
Right.
What's our action plan?
You got to have buy-in from your team.
We're doing that now. We're setting a day out after we come back and we're going, okay, here's what we learned. Let's. But a day's not even really enough. I mean,
but you got to do it in chunks and stuff, right? Because you got to still be mindful of production, correct?
Right.
So those are part of that, and then see the other thing is along with that is now how do you implement when your team is so focused on, you know, your schedule so full of fillings and crowns and stuff like this that are non-productive, like it hit me in the head. I've had it hit me in the head twice. Okay, once when I first brought my associate on straight out of school, like literally straight out of school, okay, my very first associate I got 3, 4, 5 years ago. Okay, straight out of school. I looked at his production. He got paid the same for the crown that I got paid for, the crown. And I'm 16 years in, and I do it in half the time. I mean, one-third the time. And I'm saying to myself, why in the hell does this guy get paid $700 for the crown that I get paid $700 for the crown? Why is that?
So what'd you do about that?
I said, I don't want to do them anymore. That's when I said, insurance has commoditized us to a point that, in my opinion, there's no return. Okay, so it's a part of our practice. So I said, you know what? I got to do something that produces more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I said after 15 years, I get paid the same as if I was a day one out.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into full arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course. It's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
Okay.
So what are the things...
Does that make sense?
I got you.
You're what, like 6 years out of school? 7 years out of school?
12.
12 years out of school? Shit. Okay, you look young.
Yes.
So, nice. So you're 12 years out of school, you get paid today the same as somebody that would join your practice one day out. Because you take insurance, I assume, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So MetLife, Delta Dental, whoever it is, whatever bastard company you want to name, they would pay you the same as they would pay the day guy
that's exactly
came out
right.
of school. Okay?
Yeah, they get the same reimbursement as
that. So you tell me, how have you failed yourself that you're doing something 15, 12 years later that's the same as somebody that gets paid one day out of school?
Well, what other, I mean, you think about, again, coming back to the medical model, it's no different with them. They don't get paid more to do a bypass surgery.
Just because everybody else is idiots, they get paid less today.
Well, I know.
So the Titanic's going down and you can get on the lifeboat, you're going to go down with the Titanic?
No, I'm just saying that, like, you're saying, well, how do you measure that? You can't measure that. You can't say, well, because you did 15 years in, there's guys 15 years out that suck. And there's a guy 1 year out that's awesome. So you can't necessarily say that always you should be paid more just because you've been out a long time. You're just saying that your value for your service is more because you believe in your service. And sure. that's a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad
whatever
thing.
Whatever it is. I mean, I would assume that your life cost you more today than it did 12 years ago.
Almost definitely.
Sure, of course.
Okay, so how have you made more money?
Raise my fees.
But your insurance, raising fees is artificial, okay?
Well, we're not straight insurance
practices. You guys work together?
No.
So, like, for my practice, I'm only an in-network provider for Delta Dental, okay? And the rest of it
is
out of network.
So, what percentage is Delta Dental of your practice?
Maybe 15%, I think.
20%,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 25% reimbursement from insurance. Like, my entire collections is 25% of insurance.
So, you guys are unusual because I'm 80% reimbursed by insurance companies, okay?
Yeah, I'm 30%, like, cash.
Well, actually, yeah, so but nonetheless, if you're an insurance provider, your fee raising, it's artificial.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay,
that's true.
Artificial.
It's just for you.
It's your
better.
UCR, okay? But at the end of the day, your fees. Now, but the other answer I'm trying to get out of you is you see more patients.
Right. Okay. And you do more productive procedures, of course.
But you're not doing more productive procedures. You're doing fillings and crowns.
Well, but he's been doing, and I have been doing, more implant dentistry, more cosmetic dentistry.
Sure, cosmetic dentistry is fillings and crowns. It requires you.
Well, that's true. That's true. Okay. But if you're talking about doing, reconstructive dentistry.
I'm not talking about that at all.
Well, but you do more of that compared to when you started off.
That's just multiple fillings and crowns in a row.
But is it more productive or more?
No, I tell you what, if you
do 10 crowns in a 3-hour visit versus doing 2 crowns, though, if you can do more, well, if you can do a big case, your overhead's lower.
Have you ever sat down and put in time how much time you spend on a big case?
How much time you spend over, all together?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do have to. That's what we were challenged to. Yeah,
okay,
we were challenged
to
do that.
Let's walk through this, okay?
Yeah.
So I can do a root canal crown in an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even have to, my patient doesn't even ask me questions. Okay, I turn the TV on, I put the rubber dam on, I work for an
roll
hour
for
and a
it.
Half, and they leave.
Yep.
Okay, I make $2,000.
Yep.
General production, okay? Now, your 10-unit case is going to bring you how much?
$15,000? Say $15,000.
Okay, let's say $15,000. So that is 1/7 of my root canal crown, okay? So I have to do 7 root canal crowns. So I have to see 7 patients, okay? So your 10-unit case, you're going to do a consultation, correct? You're going to probably do a second consultation with the patient because I'm assuming the patient's not going to come in and buy right away.
You're going to do a smile
design.
So then you're going to sit down and do your treatment planning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then you're going to do the lab communication for your wax up.
Right.
Okay, then you're going to sit down and prep the teeth.
Right.
You're going to make your temporaries. You're going to communicate with your lab again on what you want your restorations to look like. Okay, then you're going to check the lab case when it comes back. Okay, and then you're going to seat and deliver everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, look how many visits and time and mental anguish you have in that procedure. Okay, and I'm not saying it's not a profitable procedure. I'm not saying it's not something to strive for. Okay, but what I'm saying is even that is not the best use of your time.
Per hour, you're still not making what you're making.
It's less stressful than doing 7 patients.
Right.
Okay, in a sense.
Right.
Okay, for many people it is. Okay. But what I'm saying is that's still not the best use of your time.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha. I'm with you. You still make more per hour.
There's so much planning and non-production effort that we put no time on because you take time away from your family to do that. You do it early in the morning, you do it at lunch, you do it after work.
And that's why you got guys that are saying we should do lab fee plus hourly, rather than that, because that's the only other way to handle that if you want to.
Okay, so what are you going to do, raise your hourly every year?
Good point. Yeah,
that is a good point.
At what point, how are you going to, see, my question is where is your ceiling?
Mm-hmm.
There is a ceiling.
Yeah, there's a definite ceiling.
Okay, so now let's go, now ask me the question, so what is my suggestion for people?
Yeah, okay. So where do you go, and I know it's different for everybody, probably depending on what you love,
to love someone. It's like getting married in the Indian times. You will learn to love your wife. We picked a good one for you. So implants are a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. So implants for me, I have about 1 hour and 15 minutes for an implant start to finish restored single unit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Chair time and everything in. Okay. So that becomes profitable to me at about $2,000 an hour.
Okay.
Per implant. Okay.
That's about right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
For healed ridge surgery, even grafted surgery, it's still.
It doesn't matter. Grafting adds 5 minutes.
Yeah,
Come on.
It's not a big deal.
Okay. So as a Cerec owner, okay, so my costs are, I can plan, place, and restore an implant in material costs of less than $600. Guided, using a name brand implant.
Seems good.
Okay, and then it's a $3,500 fee procedure, okay, and I've got 1 hour and 15 minutes of chair time in it, okay? Yep. So now
I'm at $2,000 an hour. Yep. Okay. So my goal should be I need to do more of those.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Mm-hmm.
So I can do more of those by not having being focused on doing two hygiene checks every hour and doing a filling every hour and doing a crown every hour. So I can mentally think about what is it going to take. I can go out to the community because there are dentists all around you. Look at Justin Moody, for example. Mm-hmm. He literally is a general dentist, built his entire business on referral-based dentists.
Right.
So there are dentists around you that would just love to have somebody do their work for them.
So basically, in that lull time where you're switching from fillings and crowns to doing the things you
love, have to build your business.
You're building your business.
Yeah.
Just like just networking.
Just like you did when you started your practice.
Sure.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
And the next step beyond that would be like, let's take a look at sleep apnea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So sleep apnea is another thing that's already in your practice. Okay.
Right.
Now here's the challenge for me. Here's my mindset changed a year and a half to 2 years ago on sleep. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because implant dentistry still requires what? Who can do it?
The doctor.
Yeah.
You have to be there and you
sure.
have to do it.
Right.
Correct?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Still all your time.
That's exactly right.
Okay. So there's a rate limiting step there.
Mm-hmm. It's labor.
It's labor. At the
yeah.
end of
you
the day,
there.
You're a mule.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And call it what you want.
Yeah.
Okay. Smart business people make money off other people's efforts.
That's right. Residual
okay.
income.
Right. To a certain degree. Right.
Yeah.
So now sleep is one of those things that who can I delegate that to?
Yeah, that's true. Assistants can do a lot of that.
Almost all of it.
Yeah.
Almost
really
all of it.
It's just measurements and impressions.
Right.
To a certain,
you just
once
have
you
to
get
review,
the system down.
You have to review
yeah,
things.
To, I call it social visits.
You walk
yeah.
in and you
true.
Say, how are you doing?
True.
Yeah.
You're
right.
looking at numbers.
Then,
you're looking
my,
at numbers. Like, looking at your numbers, things are going great.
Then what happens is my assistant comes to me and says, hey, we're seeing so-and-so. They're reporting this. What do you want me to do? Okay.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Right. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in our practice, we've dedicated a sleep champion. Her name is Liz in our practice, and she's
I like that. Just stop right
champion.
There. Champion.
Yeah, it's
like
a champion.
That's good.
She owns it.
Yeah.
So
it's her baby.
But she has a team.
I'm gonna go back and do because I'd like doing Botox.
Yeah,
you know,
she has
yeah.
a Botox champion.
It's
yeah.
like I have a Botox champion.
Yeah, somebody
cool.
in your practice
that owns it.
It's an
that
ambassador.
Owns it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
or you call ambassador.
Keeps track
yeah.
of everything.
They own it.
And, yeah.
Okay, like
yeah, yeah.
Liz used to be my implant champion.
Yeah.
yeah.
Okay, and so I want to get into talking about how this is beneficial for your team members as well. Okay, because just like you want to grow, they want to grow too. Okay, you know, like I look at Liz. She started with me straight out of assisting school. She was 25, 26 at the time, whatever it was, okay? And I asked her one day, I said, when you're 45, do you think you can do this pace anymore? She goes, I don't think so. I said, what are you going to do with yourself? I said, how are you going to replace that income? Can you live without the money? She goes, of course not. I go, then you better find something else to do. Right? And I said, well, there's growth opportunities here in the practice. So you got to become a champion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you got to own this business model within the business, okay? But so ultimately, so I got a text from her yesterday. Hey, I did my 9th sleep appliance today while I was here. 9th for the month, okay?
Awesome.
So I set a goal for her that we need to do for the first quarter 10 per month,
mm-hmm.
okay? And you won't have to ever assist again.
Man.
Interesting.
That's awesome.
Okay. Because
you're replacing the same income
yeah, of course.
with
right.
that
no,
as long as you hit
that,
your goals.
That, because I still have another
more
assistant.
Than that. Yeah,
right?
yeah, yeah. But as long as you hit your goals,
well,
she's
I said
making
that, because
more.
At the end of the day, you know, if you use the general guru format mm-hmm. that your team member should produce, it should be 5X, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
for every dollar a person costs you, your practice, your revenue about 5X. So for me, 10 sleep appliances is going to revenue all in about $28,000 mm-hmm. per month, okay? Mm-hmm. So I said to her, I said, Liz, if you never want to assist, you need to revenue about $25,000 to $30,000 a month,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I said, I just want you to focus on sleep. So what's happened is what I did in my, because I have my personal rainy day fund and my practice rainy day fund, I said, Liz, I will fund you for 6 months, okay? So your salary, let's call it 50 grand a year, okay? Maybe it's more, maybe it's less, okay? But let's call it 50 grand a year. So that's $25,000 out of my pocket that I'm willing to take a bet on you.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Liz, after 6 months, if this doesn't work out, you're gonna come back and suck spit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So I said, all right. So I'm gonna front the money for you. We're gonna make it happen. All right. So Liz is 100% dedicated to sleep. That's it. Liz, you go out and meet the neurologist, you go out and meet the psychiatrist, you go out and meet the sleep physicians, take me, set my meetings up when I need to go. You go follow up with all these patients, you write the letters, that's all you do all day long, whatever it takes for you to get to the number we need to get to.
Okay.
And she's working less.
In a way. She's working the same hours, but
she's
working
less.
A different...
Yeah.
She's
different
working
kind
different
of work.
Yeah. She's
working
differently.
Smarter, not harder,
yeah,
as they
exactly.
say.
Right.
Yeah, yeah,
of
yeah.
course.
Which
right.
is what you're
right.
doing,
does
too.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Sure.
So now here's the beauty of it. So legally, at least in my state of North Carolina, I imagine every state in the country, is dentistry cannot happen while I'm not there.
Right.
Okay, while a dentist is not there. But who's in my office when I was here?
Associate.
Right. So legally, there's a dentist in the building, so that frees Liz to do what?
Impressions.
Gotcha. Impressions and records.
She's supervised, yeah.
She's supervised, correct?
Right.
So now I'm producing when I'm not even there.
Residual income.
And then, in a way. Right. Okay, in a way. It's residual income. So ultimately, that's the model I need people to get. And that's what I need them to understand is... Sure, you can continue to work hard and do all those things, but add this on the side then.
Yeah.
If you're money driven, because at that point because I think people are driven by three things. Ultimately, however you boil it down, it's three things. It's either money, time, or satisfaction. Okay, so I'm past the money stage of my life. I'm about right now. It's about time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'm sure 5 or 7 years from now, it'll be all about satisfaction. Right. So those are the things that I want people to understand is how can we make that happen? What do we have to do? You got to think backwards to achieve that goal. And you got to say, what in dentistry can I do that allows me to make more money without having to actually do the work myself?
So what I'm hearing, though, from all of this is that it seems like a linchpin of this idea is you have to have an associate that is happy in that situation, you know, that is happy being somebody who's kind of getting some of that more basic dentistry, some of that less productive dentistry, and is cool with that, and is maybe not necessarily wanting to turn into a business owner necessarily. Do you feel that that's the case?
I'm not saying that at all.
Not at all. So you feel like it's somebody who, because if you feel like somebody that you want to learn to become more like you at some point and maybe replace you at some point?
So I always believe in the concept of replace yourself.
Okay.
I believe in two things with my team members. One, always work to replace yourself. Okay, and two, own your space. Okay, so own whatever it is you do and work towards replacing yourself. Okay, so I'm going to use you as an example because this is what I hear all the time about associates. Okay, it's you got to find associates who's happy doing fillings and crowns. I'm like, well, what the hell? You're the owner and you're happy doing fillings and crowns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you want an associate who wants to do all the nice stuff and you're going to do all the crap stuff? Yeah, you know, it doesn't make sense. So we determine that you need to do 80 grand a month. Mm-hmm. All right. So if you're doing 4 hybrids a month, do you want to do any single units? Do you need to do any single units?
No.
Would you let your associate do those single units?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Every day, all day.
All right, so great. So start with an associate and say, listen, my plan, and this is what I try to get my people.
Just be upfront with them.
Right, but my problem with millennials, and I don't want to get into this, is they can't see 2 years from now. They want it now.
Right. That's okay? Why I'm saying that it could be challenging.
Yeah.
But you got to, you'll find the right person who sees the vision. Okay, you will. Okay. So the vision is listen, first you got to prove yourself that you can do fillings and crowns very well. Because if you can't do fillings and crowns very well, I'm sure as a hell not going to let you drill an implant into somebody's head.
Yep.
Okay?
Right.
If you can't take out a tooth well and preserve a socket, I sure the hell not going to let you take out a tooth and put an implant in at the same time. Okay? So prove yourself on these basic things. Do root canals. Become a good, solid general dentist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Right. I'm going to focus my attention on sleep, single unit implants, a few hybrids here and there. My goal is that a year or two from now, I no longer want to do single unit implants. Okay, and you can have all of them.
Gotcha.
Okay, because I'm going to move on to that.
And then you're enhancing the skills of your associates.
Of course.
So they're still being trained. The understanding from the beginning is you will eventually get here.
Yeah.
But you have to show me.
Or you'll surpass me.
Right, but show me that you can do this first.
Well, what's wrong with that?
No, it's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. No. I agree that we need to try to mentor people because there's a lack of mentorship.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
The mentality, here's...
But what you're saying is mentorship.
But somebody comes in though, okay, into the practice. The tough thing is that this person comes out of school and they're like, I am a doctor. So this person comes into their room who needs a hybrid. And they're like, so I'm just going to pass that on.
And now, what they see, though, is they see the 30% from that $50,000 case.
Right, right. Not that it's wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong. But you got to get past them. They're going to have to get past that mindset that they deserve that because they treatment plan the patient. They have to go, no, Tarun is
mine.
He knows
this is mine.
Dr. Agarwal can do this at a high level, so he gets it. I mean,
what's in the best interest of the patient?
For you to do it.
I want somebody 6 months out of school doing that?
No way.
The practice owner going to have to fix that crap?
I don't disagree
okay?
with you.
And whose name is going to be bludgeoned when that doesn't go well?
Yours.
I mean, so you tell me, my challenge with millennial, like I talked to the millennial guy yesterday, I made him buy me dinner just for the hell of it, okay? But
that's awesome.
I bet that was hard. Right
no,
there.
It was Hattie B's. These guys are unbelievable sometimes. We get there and there's a line out the door to go to this Nashville chicken place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's cold outside. I'm like, dude, there's no way we're going to even get inside the door, much less order in 20 minutes. Oh, yeah, it'll be 20 minutes. I'm like, dude, I'll bet you dinner on it. Okay?
I love it.
And you won that one, didn't you?
Hell yeah.
I guaranteed all day. $8. Wisdom versus
the
millennial.
Of course,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
It's $8. I'm like, dude, you can buy me an $8 deal and a heartbeat, right? Of course I'm going to let him pay for it, right? But But ultimately, so my challenge with millennials is they think of an associateship as a residency where you just go in and try shit.
Yep.
Oh, I got a patient to say yes. Let me just try it. Why not?
It's true.
Fake it till you make it.
No, yeah. Well, sure. I faked it till I made it too.
Because that's
what I did. But I owned the practice.
I mean, that's what we
I owned the practice. I put the money on the line.
That's true.
There's a difference between an employee and an employer.
So, absolutely.
But I guess, again, we all, though, didn't. That wasn't our mindset. That wasn't your mindset. You went, you know what? You went in there and you said, I'm going to try this. I've never done it before. And you wanted to do that. That's why you got to where you are. Well, was that really the way you looked at it? Did you look at it as they're backing me up, or did you look at this, I'm going to fake it till I make it?
Of course you fake it till you make
it. Because, I mean, that's what I'm saying, is like a lot of people, if they're pushing, if they really do want to be successful, they're going to say, let me try it, man. I want to be better, so let me try
it. Here's my answer for somebody that says you want to try it. Here's a wonderful class in the Dominican Republic, or here's Justin Moody's class in Phoenix, Arizona. Be happy to go try it.
Gotcha.
You go try it there. You go try it there, then you come back here and try it here.
Okay, I gotcha. I think that's a good answer.
We talked about this morning with somebody you know, that it's like, man, every time you just try to lay out a little bit of something, like, hey, I really think you need to do this.
Right.
I really think you need to do this, and they're not doing it.
Right.
And so why would you ever want them touching something that's more complicated if they're not willing to
put
in
the dues? They're not willing to just go
the next level. We talked with Justin
Moody
yesterday about his, you know, his Implant Pathways program, and it's legit.
Right.
And to me, it's not taking a weekend course. It's a continuum to learn complex dentistry, the procedures that you might love to do.
And by the way, where did that patient come from?
The one that walked in looking for the hybrid.
Yeah, where did they come from?
They usually came from someone else you did a hybrid on, or somebody else that's got that word. That somebody else has got that word of mouth.
Let me open this up for you. I don't want you to lose any.
No, I'm good. Don't worry, I got it. but where that? So who put the money up and created that goodwill?
It's all the marketing came from you.
So like it's like I had an associate once, a patient I've been talking to 8 years, finally ready to do his full veneer work.
Yep.
Well, I saw a patient in hygiene. I got them to say yes. I'm like, did you read the notes? We've planned and done everything
that's
for 8 years.
Right.
That would really upset me.
They're all mine at the end of the day.
Right.
Look, I make no bones about it. My name is on the door. I put $1.5 million in this place. I write you a check. I write everybody else's check in here. It's my patient.
So how do you handle that then? The answer is no.
The answer is, listen, have you done one before? Have you gone and taken any classes about it?
Show me your results.
No. Have you gone and taken any classes about it? Because everybody has to have their first. You have to lose your virginity some point in time, right?
But you're not going to be the guy to go in there and show them, is what you're saying.
No, I'm happy to.
You will, okay.
Okay. I'm happy to
so
teach
So they say
people.
I want to learn one. You're going to say you can have one of my patients?
I'm going to say you go take education first.
Yeah.
And then I will mentor you through the process.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. On a patient that's,
of course.
That's their patient.
And I will inform the patient up front.
Here's the best example, though, is like your wife needs veneers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, let's say that she knows. Okay, you're going to let your associate say, hey, I want to prep your wife's veneers. Because if you treat every member of your practice
like our saying is we treat your patients like you would your own family.
Why would you let your associate treat your wife?
Let me ask you this. Would you let your associate prep your wife for veneers?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay, now what would you want him to do? What would prove it to you? You would say you need to go to Spear,
right?
And you need to do the facial regenerative treatment planning. You also
need to go to the prep course,
right? And go to the prep course.
So I told you they treat it like a residency.
Yeah.
Then I might let you prep my wife for veneers after I see you do the work,
right,
on somebody else.
That's true. That's true. Okay. But that's not how most of us learn. That's not how we say that.
That is how you learn.
But when you started off, did you go take that's a huge continuum before you did a veneer case?
Yeah.
Oh, you come really?
Yeah, I went to LVI
before you did any veneers though.
No, I took my first.
You didn't
patient
mess
there.
Some up first.
I took my patient there.
You did. So you didn't mess any cases up.
Uh-uh. Before?
Okay, I'm impressed. Did you mess any cases up?
I made some mistakes. I went to a GPR after.
Well, I know,
school,
I know, but
that's
you
where
didn't,
I prepped my first veneer case.
But you didn't know how to do it all. I guess is what I'm saying. You didn't go spend $50,000 to learn how to treatment plan those cases.
We live in the world of the Google and the YouTube.
Yeah,
you don't even have to spend $50. You don't have to spend $1. I'm saying, put some effort in to show me that you're learning between 5 p.m. and 8 a.m. how to do stuff.
Okay, I'm with you.
That's another
My
thing
patients are not your
that.
Guinea pigs.
Yes, okay. Like it's the mindset. It's not that you're saying it's got to be this. It's just that show me that you're willing to learn, and then we'll start moving in that direction.
Show me, show me the before and after.
Here's the thing, you're saying is the whole mentality about our podcast and about what you're saying is that you're trying to take it to the next level.
Yeah, sure.
We are trying to encourage people to go out and read journals.
Yeah, we're fans of what you're saying. It's just that we're trying to think about how do you...
how do you get somebody to that point? Because that's the challenging thing. It's like, it's, you're saying you want that, but on a day-to-day basis, that patient comes in for that veneer case and you go, at what point are they ready then? At what point do you say they're ready to start doing that? That's a challenge. I would think that'd be a challenge.
Age-old question, okay? So here, in a perfect world, here's my mindset. Number one, what kind of patient is it? This see, it's not black and white, it's gray. Yeah. Okay? Number one, if your wife came in, no offense, she looks like she might be a little bit particular about how her teeth look. Okay? That's not somebody for my associate to do.
Okay? Gotcha.
Yeah, okay? You're not touching my wife.
Right? No, but you see what I'm saying?
I know what you mean. Right. what you mean.
Okay? But let's say somebody comes in, they're not super particular, they start with fangled up teeth, like literally anything's better than what the hell you started with. Yeah. That's a good case for you to start on,
gotcha,
okay?
Right. Gotcha.
All right? So, see, the other thing people, I think, that young dentists don't understand is they don't understand that they don't have that ability. And because I've made mistakes where I've had patients where I've done their work, given them money back, and they still haunt me to this day.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you never do that again, correct?
Oh, yeah.
That
man.
Sucks. How many times have we heard Gary Wood talk about that?
Oh, yeah. Dude? Never make them happy.
Never make them happy. Never,
so what, there's this ability that you come with from doing cases and having time where you can just look at somebody and say, you know, I don't want to work on you.
Don't touch that.
No, there's no chance. And there is that for somebody graduating school, and it's no fault of their own, that doesn't exist in their head.
No.
All they see are teeth.
Right. Okay? Right. I can do something about that.
I can do anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
So let me ask you, who pays for that? Who pays for the education? So you're saying you want them to get the education.
I'm not going to pay for it.
So they're going to pay.
I'm a unique situation. I have free classes upstairs because I do my own training, correct? So my training center is...
Okay, but say it's somebody that doesn't have that. What would you advocate? You would advocate that they would spend that money on their own to go out to, say, LVI or Spear or whatever.
Did I pay for the dental school?
Gotcha. So I'm just wanting to know what you think about it.
Now I'm supposed to give you a job, pay you a guaranteed salary, pay you a percentage, and I'm supposed to pay for your education. Should I come wipe your ass too? But that's what these millennials want.
I get where you're coming from, man. I'm a believer. We've had this discussion. I've told my associate, I've said, God, look, man, I love you,
listen,
but you got to show me.
If you can't afford it, stop going out to drink.
So here's the first thing.
Get a new phone here.
But my first question to somebody is, when's the last time you went out to eat? And what asking all you guys, you Americans are unbelievable. I ask you guys, what do you...
What, no. What, man? You're an American.
No, I'm so Indian. Listen, you'll see, anywhere I go, I drink water.
Yeah.
Because it's free.
Yeah.
Okay? And even at this point where I make a lot of money,
that's
still free.
That's why I drink coffee, man. It's just colored with stuff water.
It's $5, dude. That stuff is Starbucks.
No, we made that. Still, anyway. But I got what you're saying.
So my question is, I don't drink out. Because drinks are unbelievably expensive out.
Right.
Okay, so when you say to me you don't have money to spend, you just don't have the value of where your money should
go. Money management skills.
Okay, right? So ultimately, at the end of the day, listen. So if you have an associate that you really believe in and that what really holds them back is money, maybe you help them out.
Gotcha.
Okay, I'll front you the money.
Right.
You got to pay me back. I'll self-finance you.
Now, wait a minute. Okay. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to kind of be a little devil's advocate. Sorry. Is that you just said that you made a $25,000 risk
on your assistant.
Yeah. But I didn't do that the day I hired her.
It's true. Okay.
But you're saying if somebody was motivated.
I wouldn't do that on the day I hired somebody. Right. No way in hell.
But if you were...
Why would I... Okay, so back to this, okay?
Yeah.
How often have we in dentistry thought about, you know what, let's bring somebody in from the outside and promote them to this high-level job when you're just letting your poor person who's been unbelievably loyal, faithful, worked hard with you...
That's bad news.
And
bad
so now you bring somebody in and let
them...
Because I did this last year.
Nothing to me.
I brought somebody in as a sleep champion last year, and then 9 months in, she left.
Oh, man.
Right?
Yeah. And then you got to hold a list.
So you got to prove yourself.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, what's wrong in that?
Nothing
wrong with that.
Nothing's wrong.
I'm saying there's no ceiling in anything in life.
But the problem is
nobody gets it. At the end of the day, we don't get it either.
That's true.
Okay. Because we want to blame them all the time. It's easy to do.
Right.
Just like my dad's generation. My dad's to this day looks at me and says I'm lazy.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. I didn't clean rooms, plunge toilets. You know, all of that. Right. Okay. So every generation has that same way that we look at the generation behind us. Like the world's going to go to hell in a handbasket.
Right.
I'm going to use a term here, and it's like I feel like, and I know John does too, is I feel like there's a lack of wannabes.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning like for instance, like I want to be that guy right there, and I'm willing to put the time and the effort in to be apprenticed by that person to become that, and I'm willing, you know what, it's, let's say right now that we had no dental degrees, okay? Mm-hmm. And we wanted to go out and start a business with $0 in our pocket, okay? We could do it. And here's how. Is we're going to put the sweat equity. I'm going to show up and I say, you know what? I want to be an insurance salesman. And I'm going to go in here and I'm going to say, look.
But I have $300,000 in loans.
Right. But here's the thing. I'll sweep your carpet. I'll sweep your floors. Mm-hmm. I just want to hang around this place. How many like rags to riches stories do you hear about people that are billionaires?
Yeah, but those are far and few between. Okay?
Well, but I'm just saying the mentality of that is a wannabe. Yeah. Like if somebody came into you and say, I want to be.
It's the American dream.
Yeah, it's the American dream. And it can happen. Yeah.
And, as much as you say that the generational thing is a farce, it's not all a farce because there is something to that where you kind of go, there's this lack of respect of the time that it takes to get to that point. And as we were talking to Justin about yesterday, we're like, it is hard.
I went through this when I first started speaking, okay? I had people that were. Like, I've been speaking for 20 years, you need to put your time in. And I was like, hell, if I need to put my time in, I'll just shorten that timeline. Okay, so I need to put my time in, but and so what took you 10 years, I can do in 3 years. Okay, so certainly we can shorten a timeline because technology, the availability of information,
sure.
having seen somebody do it before you,
right?
Okay,
there's some things that make it easier.
Okay,
yeah.
So you can shorten that timeline. Okay, but the work still goes in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The steps are still there. They're just done in a faster manner than this. Instead of this long, you just do that many steps in this long.
So when you get to that point, though, where if the associate says it's time, I want to learn this, and they put in that time, and you might even help them financially. But
sure.
The point is that they've got to prove each step along the way, and then eventually you'd love for them to be able to do what you're doing.
Of course, I want to always replace myself.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want you to define they put in the time. Have they simply showed up from 8 to 5 for a year? That's not putting
that's
in the time.
That's not taking it to the next level.
Have they watched me do procedures? Do they come in on their Monday off?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Are they? Who are they? Who are they?
I once had an associate said, can you schedule that case on a Tuesday through Friday when I'm here? I'm like, nope, I'm going to schedule it on a Monday. You can come in on your day off.
Mm, yeah. And it's got to be, that's what they've got to be willing to do, is come in and learn.
If you want to be successful around me,
John, we take time off. We take a day off of work. And how much production do we lose?
Right. Right, you know? Lose it. Yeah.
We lose it. We're not asking that guy to lose production. You're just asking him to come in
on
his day off.
To come in and learn, because that's a free CE course is what
that is.
At
the end of the day, yeah.
Yeah, it's a free CE course.
So my question is, why would you... So to me, there's a level of arrogance, okay?
There's the word.
Okay? Yeah. There's a level of arrogance, not in the way you act, okay?
Right.
But in your mindset, that you feel that I've learned so much, so already...
Oh,
okay,
and
especially my friends out of GPR residencies, they really feel that, okay? Right? So there's a level of arrogance that I don't need to learn, okay? And what I'm saying is that mentality, at least with me, will never work.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Like, to this day, I see patients 3 days a week, almost 40 weekends a year I'm working Thursday, Friday, Saturday, okay? So, but there are a few Thursdays and Fridays I'm at the office, okay? I'm not out of town, I'm off, okay?
Let's call it.
I'm in the office on Thursday, okay? And on that Friday, I'll go to my periodontist office, my oral surgeon's office, my endodontist office, because I'm there to learn, okay? Because I can always get better.
Of course.
Okay, there's always something new for me to learn.
That's good.
So my question is why, and that goes back to my point. They'll use, well, I don't have money for CE. Great, we have an oral surgeon that'll do anything I ask. I have a periodontist that'll do anything I ask. I have an endodontist that'll do anything I ask. And I have an orthodontist that'll do almost anything I ask.
Yep.
Okay, so if you want to go learn and you don't have the money, I will personally call them.
Yeah.
Okay, and set up a time for you to go shadow them.
Yeah.
More can I do?
Right.
Like I said, do you want me to wipe your butt too?
Right. It's free.
So if you can't call them for me, like if you call and just say my name,
right.
they will understand what you're calling about.
Right. So be willing. If you're
not
willing to do that.
But you want to guinea pig my patients.
So what you're saying then is like, and I caught your body language on this, is that he's saying, and what I caught from you is that it's not a lack of mentors.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
a lack of apprentices.
Right.
Who are willing.
Mindset apprentices.
Who have that mindset.
That wannabe mindset.
Yeah. That are okay with
they
want to
be fed on their terms, their time, their conditions.
Right.
At their timeline.
Right. So how do you tap into somebody? Like, okay, let's say...
Well, here's the good news. I don't own multiple offices. I don't need but one.
Right.
Yeah. Okay,
right.
So I just need to find the right one.
Right, exactly. So let's just talk a little bit about, like, from a standpoint of, like, if you've got we've got somebody here, like ourselves, like myself, I don't have an associate. You have an associate.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to interview somebody, and you said you haven't figured this out yet... Okay.
There's a lot I haven't figured out.
Are there personality tests that have been, you know, like there's certain.
Did he put you through a personality test before you guys dated and got married? There's a personality test called the gut.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's
okay?
true.
Because I can fake anything.
That's true.
Sure.
Okay, was he nice? Like, my wife tells me all the time, okay, when I met you, your apartment was clean. You had a housekeeper. You had a car washed every week. Then we got married, and what the hell happened to you? Okay?
Right. So, the real you came out.
There's a value to these personality tests, but what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, the value is what you feel.
Yeah.
Okay, and you'll be wrong sometimes. You'll be right sometimes, but you can't test people to death.
Yeah.
That's true.
You're going to lose more good people than the bad people you avoid.
Right. So okay. So is there any skill set test then? Or is it just coming in and start to work? If you feel like, hey, this guy's got to, you know, you hear a lot of people say hire for personality, train for skill.
Mm-hmm.
Is like we hire, this person's got a good communication base because it's hard to teach communication.
That's another thing that associates don't, young dentists. I want to stop using the word millennial.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. Young dentists.
Young dentists, okay? Yeah. They don't believe in, they don't put any effort and time into learning how to get patients to say yes.
Right, I agree
Very
with
true.
That.
We talked about that.
Yeah,
all
like
day.
We talk about, yeah. you know, some people like
body language. Learning the communication skills and reading books. And I mean, these are things that.
You go back to what you were saying, too. I'm sorry, I interrupted
No,
you.
No, I understand. But I mean, like, is that harder to teach than a skill set? Mm-hmm. So, like, you meet somebody and you hit it off and you're like, man, I feel like this guy's a pretty nice guy or whatever. We seem to, like, hit it off. And then, like, at what point? I mean, like, you're like, I'm done with this guy.
All right, so let's look at it this way. So let's reverse engineer the question.
Okay? Now, and let me throw this in there. If 50% of people in dental school, and I don't want to be sexist because we have a lot of women listeners. And,
I like the women listeners.
And I do too.
Just saying.
And I too. My wife is a practicing clinician. And so the thing is that if we have that many women that are coming into the dental field, 50%, is that, I think that's an advantage for them to be a business owner, but not only that, is that a woman wants to have children, they want to have a family, and why would they not want
bring
to
back the 1950s?
They want to work part-time.
Right, it seems like that could be a good fit.
That's
for
a
what
good fit.
For the type of business that you're talking about.
Some
you
of
maybe.
Know?
Maybe,
yeah,
maybe.
Know.
It's hard to say that.
Right, so then, like, if you look at this, it's like...
It should be.
The basis of my question is it harder and it to train for personality, or is it heart or communication or skill, and or this about the same? And then at what point do you say, man, I'm just done with this?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so let's reverse engineer the question, okay?
Okay.
So let me put it this way. Let's pretend, let me go back 15 years, and I want to go apply for a job. Okay, I want to present myself as the best associate possible. So the first thing I ask people is when I'm interviewing them straight out of school, I say, so tell me what kind of things have you been reading?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, non-dental books. I already tell you they don't love dentistry. Okay, have you met students here while you've been here?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I met like 10 or 12 students here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those are the kind of people I'm looking for. Okay, my next thing is, can you show me any examples of your work? Well, you didn't have a camera. What, you guys didn't have x-rays either? You didn't have a phone that you couldn't take pictures of your x-ray with that?
It's right. A portfolio.
Yeah, at the end
it's
of the day.
A portfolio.
So, like, when you meet artists, how do you know how good
portfolio.
The artist is? Portfolio.
Start right. doing that now yeah. if so, you want to sell yourself in the end.
At the end of the day, the life is about selling yourself.
Yeah. Right.
Whether it's to patients. You know, why did you want to interview me? Somehow I've sold myself that I'm someone that you want to interview.
Let me just say right now, how John and I got together is like this. It's yeah. like, hey, man, check this case out.
At a bar
out.
At night.
Yeah, late at night.
Late at night yeah. in Sweden.
Yeah, yeah. it was yeah. interesting.
But I mean, like, it's you show me a case, I'll show you a case. And
right.
eventually you're like, okay, this guy really knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But you feel that passion when you talk to somebody. When it comes up quickly, you're like, hey, man, so what do you learn? You know, what are you reading? Like you yeah. say, would you see that article in last week's or
would
last month's
Would you let Justin Moody do an implant in one of your patients?
Yeah,
yeah. From what
down.
From
and you've
what
never I, seen his work,
right? Never
you've
seen
never,
his work.
You never met him, really, right?
Right. Yeah. Right.
But he's gained that trust because right. he's from shown what, you
from
examples.
What we have, yeah,
right.
exactly.
Right.
From
and,
what we
and,
know.
And you just have
it's
the discussion.
It's his portfolio of work,
right?
It's his book of business.
So when you talk to somebody and you're talking to them in the interview and you say those kinds of things, you look at you. What would I want myself to have done?
Intangibles.
Yeah.
How are you performing? How are you performing right now?
And how are you going to know you're successful? And what's the measure of success?
So you're coming out of school, 1 year out of school, 2 years out of school. You've left a big office or another office. Let's say, so what have you done the last 2 years? Tell me, but what do you read? What do you do from 5 p.m. to 8 a.m.?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do on Saturdays and Sundays?
Yep.
Okay, to me, the measure of a person that wants to be great at what they do at some point in their life is what they do outside of work.
Very true.
Okay, you can drink all you want, you can do all those things, but tell me that you're reading, tell me that you're learning, because all those things are free.
Okay, we live in the day and age of education is essentially free.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you can learn anything on the Google, anything on the YouTube, anything on the Facebook, anything on the Twitter, anything you want on podcasts.
Yeah.
At the end of the podcast, a free education, right? So if you can't show me that you've invested time in that, just
right.
tells
you're probably
me,
not the right
for
person
me,
for me.
Yeah. Okay, now if I had 100 offices, I'm just looking for a heartbeat.
Right, right.
Okay, can you do dentistry? Okay, but what I'm looking for is something different. And my wife tells me that's my problem, is that I want somebody very good when I'm trying to put somebody in a spot just to fill a, in a sense, plug a hole. I go, but my mentality just simply won't let me, because I want more for that person. Because I want, the, because if... Okay,
you're trying to replicate yourself.
Yeah. No, I'm not. No. I don't want anybody to be like
me. But you're
me.
Not going to tolerate somebody though who's going to just clock in, clock out.
Yes.
That's not going to happen
problem.
In your
that's
practice.
The problem.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Or clock no, in. But no. I can tolerate it if they upfront say, "Listen, I'm happy doing fillings and crowns.
Right, right.
I want to serve your practice. I want to have a good life. I don't ever want to do more than that."
And no one's ever going to say that. I don't
so
think.
I've had people tell me
You've
that.
You've had people tell you that. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I've had people tell me that.
Huh. Well, and so that could work in,
yeah.
in this situation.
Yeah, but that person's honest with themselves.
But do you really want that person?
Yes, why not?
Because don't you want to have that relationship with them that's like you're challenging them, they're challenging
because
you, isn't this
he,
a good thing?
Remember what he said, he's like he's all about what he wants.
Well, you're right.
Right.
But I mean, that would be tough
wrong.
For you. I would think for you, though, that would be hard to deal with that person day
no,
to day if they don't
sure,
want that.
But long they want to get better at fillings and crowns, great.
As long as they're wanting to get better. Even if it's just at that, you're
well,
good with
exactly
that.
That's exactly what you want. Show me your portfolio. Oh, yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
And that's all really I want to do.
Right.
And I really want to get better, and I know my
yeah.
bonding.
I want to do the best crown in the world.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sweet.
Okay.
What's
sweet.
Wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with that.
No,
yeah, no,
man,
no. I didn't know that's what you were saying.
See, to me, it's so ultimately what happens is a rising tide, all these fancy sayings, rising tide lifts all boats, whatever it is, okay? Ultimately what that means is that when you have somebody good around you that can take things off your chest, off your plate, now you can fill your plate with other things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can fill it with something else, okay? And I've always had that mentality that if something were to happen tomorrow, I would find a way to survive, okay? And I could reinvent myself, I could do something different. And so ultimately, my practice is no different than that. I want to do that. And another thing we didn't talk about is medical billing.
Mm-hmm.
That's just free revenue. Because the reimbursements are better, or we're doing like how many you guys take out teeth in your practice?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you see those patients for post-op sometimes?
Yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
sometimes
sutures or whatever, or maybe whatever.
Well, yeah. Oh yeah, it's no big deal, right?
Yeah.
It only costs you $50 every time you see them.
Chair time.
It's all right. Chair time.
It is chair time.
Oh yeah, no big deal. Right. Here's $50. Let me give you $50. Don't come in.
Right.
Okay. Right. Well, why do we have such a nonchalant attitude about it?
Mm.
That's right, we do.
Because
medicine doesn't.
Your assistant.
Every single time you go to the doctor, they charge you.
Your assistant had to tear down that room,
yeah.
set it up,
I told him this
spray
the other
it
day.
Down.
I said, every time
your
y'all
front
touch
office
a stream,
person
bucks.
Had to pick up the phone and confirm that appointment.
You're right.
Okay, that person had to make the appointment, and there's a percentage of patients you have to reschedule because they can't make that appointment and no longer is good for them.
Yeah, definitely
okay.
costs you money.
It costs you money.
Yeah.
So why in the hell is it okay just to do it for free?
It's not.
Okay, so then get paid
for
it.
It's not what you do. It's
then
what,
get paid
it's not
for
what
it.
You do. It's what you know.
Get paid for it.
I
medical
agree.
Insurance will pay for those visits.
For a post-op.
Yeah. It's an office visit. When's the last time you went to the doctor's office
instance,
and
I've
didn't get charged
yeah,
for an office visit?
To be honest with you, I've been thinking about this. It's a little sidebar, but it's like a procedure that John and I have incorporated. We've been trying to cheat a little more TMD and all that kind of thing. We've been doing some anterior discluding devices.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's an assistant.
Those are medically payable right. procedures.
Yeah,
well, I just goofing around the cup.
So the thing is that you charge, it's the whole thing is assistant driven.
Yeah.
You know, I've
yeah.
got to the point now where I've trained my assistants, and it's like I just walk in a room, and it's like, hey, how you feeling? Touch a few muscles, and I'm out.
But why right. are you billing that to medical?
No, I'm not.
Why not?
I need to be. Because
but why
and,
not?
I just don't know how.
Because I don't know how.
Don't know how.
So you don't have access to the YouTube or the Google?
I do, but I haven't.
You don't
need
have a few thousand
to
dollars to go learn something?
I'm available.
That's
teach
maybe
me.
That's the next
okay.
step.
Look,
maybe
but
that's
but
the
my
next
question
step.
Is why are we not doing that? So we want to complain about the young dentist not doing it, but yet we do it ourselves.
Sure. Sure.
That's right.
It's the next step.
I'm just asking. Touché, right? So at the end of the day, I mean, it's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
I'm guilty of it. You're guilty of it. You're guilty of it, right?
Is it but the yet mentality we wanna,
it's,
that, that
but
we
it's
just,
okay for us to bitch about them being like that, but yet it's not okay for us to be like right. that.
If we're not pushing it to the next level on what we're doing.
So at the end of the day, well, how can you expect anybody around you to be any different if you yourself aren't constantly pushing? So what my team will say about me is that, listen, I'm difficult to get along with sometimes, but I'm constantly pushing.
Yeah, trying to get better.
Yeah, constantly. If we have no movement, we're dying.
Very
so my
true.
Question is this, so you don't want to get paid, so you don't think you could sell more if medical insurance paid for
Heck
it for your patients?
Man. Thank oh you my so goodness. Yeah. Oh, I know.
So then why aren't you learning? So you like, I know, you like doing fillings and crowns. They're so fun.
No, I don't.
Well, I'm learning about the apnea device with medical billing. That's something.
So you're treating TMD, you better be treating sleep apnea. You
home right. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what we. Yeah, that's one of the reasons. It changed our whole world when we went out and took that course of occlusion and now we're taking
the
sleep course.
In
the spirit. That's what we're doing this summer. So
with Kevin
Quishen and Jameson Spencer.
Yeah. So Mike, here's my question on that. So are you medical billing that?
Yes.
Well,
yes. That's for the appliances, yes, but not for office visits. That's okay. Something that I don't know enough about. I like giving it away for free.
Yeah, okay. I'm just saying. I gave it away free for 15 years. I mean, I might as well get $18 to $20 for it.
Absolutely. So right? I've got to learn about
that.
Do you
ever see patients that need prophys more than twice a year?
Yeah.
Sure do.
So what happens in that exam you do on them the third or fourth time?
If it's insurance, it goes away.
It's free, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you just bill medical for that?
And you've had excellent success with that, it sounds like.
Exams are about 80% success.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Wow.
Deductibles and copays will enter into that equation.
Sure.
So where did you learn about it?
I learned from, I've taken classes from Dr. Z in Chicago, Hutan Shahidi, and Chris Ferrugia, all these friends of mine.
Yeah, yeah.
And then so I brought Hutan in and we teach medical billing training. And again, for me, what's different is the education you can get on the YouTube and the Google. It's about the implementation of the workflow. It's about team integration.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, listen, nothing I do is about the education part of it. There's so much smarter people that are better than me at that, okay? So learn from them on the Google, the YouTube, wherever it is. But if you want to learn about team integration and getting your team on board and creating a workflow that makes sense in a busy general practice, that's where we can really help people.
Gotcha.
So, but I would tell you that if you want to do more sleep, we do medical billing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I'll tell you, and I'll say this honestly, is that you're not as good at medical billing as you need to be because you're not doing it enough, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So like, when you get really good at medical billing, you'll be able to have a patient in the hygiene chair, and before they leave the hygiene chair, you can tell them how much their out-of-pocket's going to be for that sleep appliance.
That's awesome. That's I'd awesome. Love to be able to do well, that. Okay. I'm not
so,
there.
So then
I'm
you're telling there. So you're, what you're saying to me is that you do medical billing. Like, yeah, I do medical billing, but you do it at such a low level. Okay, your bar is so low that
they walk out not knowing what it's going
to
pay.
So I'm not trying to be mean here, but egotistically, I learned medical billing enough, but you've never had somebody show you what's possible.
Yeah. Okay. So who do we need to talk? Who can teach that?
I can.
You can.
Yeah.
That's your thing.
That's one of your things.
One of your things. So how do you do that? Do you have classes at your place?
Yeah, we have classes
place?
In Raleigh. We're doing some on the road this year, like Houston, Boise.
Where can we go? 3D-dentist.com.
3D-dentist.com. Or T-BoneSpeaks.com.
Okay.
They'll all take it there.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But we ask me more questions. I'm not here to promote my stuff. I mean, at the end of the day, we filled them up. It's no big deal.
But this is what, I mean, we both want to go and
but
check
I wanna
this out.
But it's about the disruption, correct?
Yeah.
So you've already disrupted us.
Yeah, it's good disruption.
Yeah, but
because we talk about this all the time about what would we like to do. We talked about this so much about where we want to be in 20 years. How do we get to that point? And this is a model that could get to where you want to be in 20 years. It's just, it's interesting.
But how can you let yourself never stop growing?
Yeah, yeah. You can't because, like you say, you're dying if you're not growing. I mean,
right.
At some point.
How can you not say there must be more in medical billing? Like, I take classes myself sometimes, and I go to them like, well, I'm doing this already. It makes me feel at ease.
Yeah.
All right, I'm at a good level.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's my question is
I guess
what
you just don't know what the highest level
what's
is.
Worst,
that's the
what's
thing.
The worst thing that happens if I go to a CE and don't like it? I've wasted money and time.
Right. But it makes you confirm that you're doing the right thing.
That's the worst
basically.
Thing that happens.
Yeah.
So you tell me that we've become so money-minded that we can't spend a few $1,000s to figure out that we're doing it right.
Sure. No, we're all about that.
I know, yeah. I get that, but I'm just saying, generally speaking,
most people aren't.
They're like, I'm good enough.
Yeah, and that's,
so,
you know
and
what?
I don't need to spend
you know
any more
what?
Money.
Then don't bitch about anything.
Right.
That's why that stat is that most dentists spend $900 on education and travel yearly.
Yearly.
And that's from the office to the county dental society
that's
meeting.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yep, and then it's online, and like you say, the YouTube and the Google are good. On one hand, they've also been bad because people go, "Oh, I got that now. I got it. I saw a video on it, so now
it doesn't work." I tried in my practice, it doesn't work. You know what I hear about medical billing the most often is, I tried in my practice, it didn't work. I go, what'd you try it on? Oh, you know, I had this patient that came in that had a hybrid. We did, you know, took all the teeth out and gave them dentures. We billed that to medical and they didn't pay for it. I'm like, yep, it's never going to work.
Yeah, that's not what it's for.
That's one of the things it's for, but that's the percentage of that billing is so low.
Yeah, it's so low.
And then my next question is, medical billing didn't work. How long did you try it for? How many claims do you file? So you're telling me that you went to dental school and the first time you did a prep, you became a master at it.
Right. You're not there yet. You got to keep working
on it. It's just another skill set.
But more importantly, see, the other thing that I find, and this is how I did medical billing, and I'm not advocating this is how people have to do it, okay? But again, this is how, so I believe when you want to implement something, you got to go full bore, okay? Mm-hmm. So when I did medical billing, I said, you know what? I'm going to hire a medical biller. I hired Melissa. I said, Melissa, here's the deal. We got 6 months to make you worth it. Mm. All right, I'm going to front your salary for 6 months.
So this is somebody that knew medical billing already.
She was a medical biller, but she didn't know dental medical billing.
Gotcha.
Okay. I'm going to front your salary for 6 months. I'm committed to making this happen. Let's go to some education. Let's see what it takes. Yep. Let's work on it. Your sole job, all you got to do is this.
To make your salary profitable.
So how long did it take you to get that fully implemented and trained in your practice?
18 months. 12 to 18 months.
Now that what you know...
My level of implementation is higher than what you guys are even imagining.
Yeah, but right. if we went to your course, what are you telling people? How long will it take them?
I tell everybody that it takes 3 to 6 months for you to see a return.
Okay. So you have to be willing to front some money. Do you recommend they hire somebody? Depends on their workload.
Because most people don't have the business mindset or the financial mindset that I have, okay? Mm-hmm. So if I met you guys, okay, I would say for you to hire somebody part-time.
Gotcha.
A dedicated person. Okay, they can be a remote employee even.
And you give it 3 to 6 months, you take them to training, and then you give it three to six months.
But you set it up front. Listen, these are my expectations. I'm going to hire you. Right. Like, I interviewed somebody the other day to come to our office, and she's working somewhere else, in another field, okay? And I said to her, so I want to be up front with you. I like you, okay? And I want to hire you, but I want you to know this. You take this job, and in 3 months from now, it doesn't work for each other. Are you going to be okay with that? Don't leave your job that you have now that pays you well.
I like the upfront mentality.
And come to my place, and I'm telling you, it's a 3 month deal.
I agree. Okay? I think that's the way you got to talk
After 3 months, if it works for us, we'll keep you.
Yeah.
Okay? It's a business.
Yeah, it's a business. It's a business. So.
No, but it's also the right human thing to do, right?
I agree with that, too.
You don't want somebody to be failing and it's not working.
I don't want to take you out of your situation and put you on the streets because I got a whim.
Right.
Okay, and my whim changed.
Right.
Okay, and now suddenly you left a good job and you can't go back.
Right.
So after 3 to 6 months, just to kind of get to the brass tacks on that, you feel like things like that extra exam per year, you feel like, of course, apnea appliances.
We collected $40,000 last month in medical billing in January.
So as a percentage, like you're talking about an extra 10-15% that you could do?
Last year, 2015, we collected north of $200,000 in medical billing.
Wow. And how much of that was sleep versus other stuff?
Sleep would be 50% of that.
Okay. That's $100,000 that's not even sleep. Mm-hmm. That's impressive.
Exams and x-rays.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I want to go back to one more thing on the medical billing part, okay? So there are three ways you can do it, okay? One, you can try to have a current team member do it.
Okay.
A little bit of a recipe for toughness, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you carve out time for them.
Yeah.
Okay, so the way I would approach that, I would say Susie Q, okay, because 90% of them are women, okay? Friday's your day off. I want you to put some time in on Fridays.
Yep.
If you approve of the results, I'll give you a raise, okay, or I'll move you into this position, whatever it takes. But I want you to carve out Fridays as this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you try to have somebody do this like in between everything else that you're having them do, it's just a recipe.
It has to be a dedication.
Okay. Number two, you hire a full-time, part-time virtual employee that's dedicated to doing this, and you front it for 6 months. Okay, and that person can sink or swim. Okay, or the third way of doing it is you can hire an outside billing service. Okay, and they take a percentage.
Yep.
Okay. And so that's an option as well. Okay.
Yep.
So my ultimate goal for everybody is to have an internal biller.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I believe in vertical integration.
Yep.
Okay. But I say that starting off, I'm okay with a small small and relatively small-minded practices outsourcing it. So if you're an under $1 million practice, my suggestion is to outsource it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you're a million plus and you're a business, you know, entrepreneurial to a certain degree, mm-hmm. I suggest that you bring in a person dedicated to doing it.
Okay.
So that's kind of how I look at that.
Mm-hmm. And so, but for that kind of return, if you're talking about, even if the sleep is out of it, if you're talking $100,000 return, that certainly can justify, especially a part-time person's salary.
$100,000 is a part-time person.
Absolutely.
Holy smokes, man.
I mean, that's a pretty good return.
And really, it makes you feel better.
And it's better for the patient, too. I mean, yes, the patients are happier as well because they're getting better care. They're getting that extra exam and they're feeling good about it.
How many people are coming to you, and even now, because people are like, there's different insurance models that are going down even now in 2017. And they're like, hey, I've got this money. Can I spend it in your office?
Right.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, that's crazy that we can't even tap into that, but we can.
See how silly it is. So let me preface everything I say about medical insurance this way. There's deductibles, there's copays, these affect these things, okay?
Right.
There's exclusion in plans, and there's some states like Alabama, Tennessee, Michigan, places like that that just ass backwards, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Where medical insurance is a little bit tough in some of those states, okay?
That's what we've heard about in Tennessee. We're in Tennessee. Yeah, we've heard it's really tough. Medical billing for me with sleep is tough, man.
It's tough, okay? Yeah. So there's the difference. Like here's ultimately, like, if you signed up for my class, we'd get an email saying you signed up. Lori or myself would pick up the phone and say, listen, dude, you don't need to come to this class. Let's give you your money back.
Because Tennessee is not, it's not going to happen.
We just know. And I said, listen, I don't want to waste your time. I don't need your money that bad.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's the honesty of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, what was I talking about?
Yeah. Well, you were just saying that up front, you got to know that whether it's going to work in your state, if it's going to be worth it.
If you're
medical billing, okay.
Yeah.
So do you take x-rays after you do your implants?
Sure.
Do you get paid for those?
No.
Why not?
I should.
Could you?
Sounds like with medical, you might be able to.
If I say, you said two different things there, okay? You said I can, you said it might be possible. I like your answer better.
Okay?
That's setting up realistic expectations. Okay? It's possible. Okay, you can submit the claim. How long does it cost? What does it cost? And how long does it take to submit the claim? 30 seconds.
Mm.
Okay? And it may pay.
Mm.
And if it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah.
You were doing it for free anyway.
Yeah. And it's not a lot of time for a potential return.
Right. Exactly. Mm. So to give you examples, I can only give you based on state of North Carolina, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and network provider. We get paid roughly our allowable fee is $180 for a new patient exam through medical insurance, like $40 through dental insurance.
Wow. Wow. So you're doing new patient exams. You're billing it through medical.
Our primary there is medical. Secondary is dental.
Okay.
Okay.
And again, subject to the deductibles and the allowables
and all that stuff. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But a lot of times when we're in network, the deductibles don't apply to diagnostic or exams.
Only procedures.
Sometimes. Every plan, depends how much your employer
is
paying.
This is why you go to the course, because you don't know necessarily.
I couldn't even tell you. I just say you find out. It's like if I came to your office, who's your person that does the insurance in your office?
Cindy.
So if I came to Cindy, what city are you in?
Give me a big employer in your city. John Deere.
If I came to Cindy and I said, hey, I'm from John Deere, she wouldn't even need my card. She can just tell you exactly what it pays, right?
Sure.
Okay, so the same thing happens with medical insurance. Literally, if you come to our office and you're with the Wake County School Education System, Melissa can, out of the top of her head, she can say, okay, this is
what
she knows
your percentages and all that.
She just knows. The medical insurance even.
Yeah.
So the same thing happens. Okay, but that doesn't happen when you dabble in it.
Yeah.
Okay, when you do a medical claim every once in a while,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't
happen.
You
got to own it. You got to own it.
You got to become a champion. You got to be a leader in it.
Okay. Well, that's where I feel like that's a challenge for us to start to look at that. And I think for a lot of our listeners, because it's something that we've talked about a little bit with sleep,
but
I was not even aware of the extent that you can get into the medical. And again,
but the shame on you guys for not getting education.
Now you're right, man.
The shame on you guys are going to listen to these old people talk.
I know, going to too many of these big meetings with these old people.
I'm dead, dead serious. At the end of the day, what I look for in education is when I want technical education, I'm okay with the older vanguard generation, okay? Because they're a lot like Frank Spear. At the end of the day, he's been around a long time, but the guys unbelievable. Yeah, okay, right, John right. Coyce, a lot of these guys. Okay,
right.
But when I want practice advice, I'm no offense, I'm not going to spear for that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
The guy doesn't practice in the traditional real dentistry.
Right,
okay?
Right. It's not real world. Like, it's totally not different. Real world. Okay, yeah.
So to me, you got to deal with people that are living it and doing it. That don't pretend to have all the answers. You got to deal with people that just are just like you at the end of the day, right? So it's unbelievable dentistry. I think we're in the best time ever. I think we can do so much. I think we're creating a void that's allowing DSO dentistry to thrive. Not that I think there's anything wrong with that. At the end of the day, I'm a capitalist. If we as a profession can't fill that void, and we could fill it quite easily. If 5,000 of us a year hired an associate, we could fill that void.
I agree. You know, I think that's the thing that really scares me about going forward as a profession is that, one, is if we tap into some of the things that he's saying as a profession, then you really are helping access to care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, because you're doing the bread and butter dentistry that most people need.
Right, that most people need.
And then also that you as a clinician can be happier doing the things you love.
Right.
You know, as an owner, you know, you're more entrepreneurial. Maybe you've got an associate.
Yeah.
Maybe they want to be.
But I think the challenge is it's with the younger dentists. It's with that
yielding
understanding that it's okay.
Not every associate has to be a younger dentist.
Well, you're right. You're right.
Okay.
Right. You're right. Right.
They can be that younger dentist that worked 5-6 years somewhere else and now they want to settle down.
Yeah. But it would have been hard, I think about for me. It would have been hard for me. Not that I didn't want to learn, not that I didn't want to get better, but you have to really think through that mindset and go, you know what? I get what this guy's trying to say to me. He wants me to become better.
My practice is not the GPR residency.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you have to just get
across. Honestly, no practice should be a GPR residency.
But that's what a lot of DSOs are. Let's be honest.
Sure, it's
model. Free for all, man.
That's their model. I can't say yes or no to any of that because I've never experienced it. Okay?
Well, I mean, and I haven't done it myself, but you know, you talk to people that are in that and it is that way. So that's what a lot of younger dentists coming out of school are learning is that you go in and it's a free for all, man. It's all about hit your production number.
Right.
And so
how many wages
they
can you produce?
Right. So they get in
and
that
what's
mindset.
Wrong with hitting your production number?
No, then nothing wrong with that. You know, but if that's all it is and it's not about getting better, it's just production numbers.
Whose fault is that? The DSOs or the practitioners?
Absolutely, it's the practitioners'
right.
fault.
But then of the day, the onus is on yourself.
True.
Okay.
True.
You can walk away with that from that job.
Right. But in medicine, again,
they call it the golden handcuffs. You know, they've handcuffed me. Right. They've held me against my will
just
at this place.
But in medicine, though, again, as a mirror to that, they, you know, the older docs would say that the younger docs, they've been in that insurance mindset for so long. They've learned a new way, and it's hard to change that back to the medical model back before insurance did dominate everything. And I think we're in that same challenge right now. How do you take somebody who's just been told you're going to see 50 patients a day, you're going to hit a production number, and then you're going to bring them in your practice and say, no, it's all about quality. And you're going to do very little in terms of procedure mix, but you're going to do very high quality. It's completely
it's
opposite.
It's hard. Yeah. So I want to. I see your wife's telling us we got to get done.
Yeah, okay? It's time.
But I want to bring this full circle, okay? Because I want to give you a synopsis of what's happened in my practice in the last 4 years. Okay, so what people have to understand is there's an entire story and tale to what I'm doing. Okay, and what I'm trying to get you to buy into. I'm trying to get you to buy into a lifestyle or a philosophy, okay? And that is, at the end of the day, I asked you, I started by, how can you take more time off? Okay, so if you didn't have to see some of the patients, if you could produce more doing less, you could produce enough to make the money that you want to make, you would take more time off.
Sure.
Okay.
Every day.
Then I asked you guys about why don't you take 3 or 4 weeks off in a row?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the hell's going to happen to my practice? Who's going to watch your practice? Okay, so now by being able to advance yourself, okay, and not get rid of that underneath you, but give that to somebody else, what's within your practice already, okay? Let's take what revenue opportunities we're missing in medical billing,
mm-hmm.
with exams and x-rays, things that were given away for free. Let's $20 this to death, okay? Then I'm trying to say, you know what? What about all those patients that walk through your practice today that have sleep apnea already?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's give them an opportunity. Medical billing plays a big role in that.
Yep.
And I'm saying, what about the patients that are missing teeth? At the end of the day, how many missing teeth are in your practice?
Right.
You know, if you got 1% case acceptance or 2% case acceptance, you know, I mean, if I did a seminar and the title of it was, let me teach you to have 5% case acceptance.
Right.
How many people would come to that seminar?
Right.
I could teach you to have $1 million practice on 5% case acceptance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
if you really just think about it, okay?
It's a lot of no's before you get to the yes,
right,
and that's
so,
okay.
You know, at the end of the day, I mean, how many people did you have to ask out before your lovely wife finally said yes?
Yeah.
Probably a lot. I mean, looking at you,
look
a lot of people.
Look at this guy.
A lot. You'd ask a lot of people and then said no, right? So, you know, full circle is don't take, when I say stop doing fillings and crowns, it's not about literally stopping to do fillings and crowns in your practice.
Yeah.
Okay. There's an entire thing that goes with this. Okay. And I hear, like, I heard a speaker yesterday, an unbelievable respect for him. He was showing how he color codes things and how he has all these templates done. And I just looked at it and I said, I don't want to work that hard, that efficiently.
Yeah.
In fact, I want to be lazy. Okay, I want to chit chat with my patients. I want to have fun.
Right.
I want to grow my team around me.
Yeah.
Okay, because Liz makes more today than she ever made. Okay, Liz has a better practice lifestyle than she's ever had.
Yeah.
Camaraderie. You cannot buy.
Yeah. You want to do cool stuff.
I told my hygienist Megan. I said, so last thing, and then I promise I'll let you go because I'll just keep talking. Okay. So, what does your hygienist produce per day? $1,000.
Yeah, probably about $1,500, yeah.
Yeah, about $1,000 a day. That's what we shoot for.
All right, so $1,000 a day. Right?
Well, we're doing different schedules, so I'm working longer hours.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's
call it average practice, they'd love to get $1,000. Gurus tell you your hygienist can do $2,000. I'm like, where in the hell are you doing this at?
Yeah. Okay? Right, good luck.
Like, yeah. So, but
30-minute profies on everyone.
Yeah. $4,000.
Yeah. So I don't believe in assisted hygiene. I don't believe in a commission structure for hygienists. I believe in one-hour appointments for hygiene.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, man, with
good.
It.
So my goal is $1,000 for hygiene. Okay, so I went to Megan and I said, Megan, listen, you know, the day's going to come that I want Liz to do something else because I've already got a business model in mind that I want Liz to work with me on.
Yeah, this is your hygienist.
Liz is my sleep champion.
She's
okay,
sleep champion.
My used to be my implant champion and T-bone champion. Now she's sleep champion. Okay, and I went to Megan, my hygienist, and you know, hygienists are generally speaking one of the highest paid or higher paid people in your practice. And I said, Megan, I want you to consider not doing hygiene anymore. Okay, and she looked at me like I was a little bit nuts, but she trusts me, and you guys are probably looking at me like I'm a little bit nuts.
No, I don't think
okay, so I said, Megan, what do you produce in a week? So your hygienist does $1,000 a day. Mm-hmm. You're open 4 days a week.
Yep.
So they do $4,000 a week.
Yep.
I said, Megan, so here's your opportunity. You can see 32 patients this week, or you can do 2 sleep appliances. Which one do you want to do?
And she said,
I'd love to do 2 patients.
I'd love to do it.
Yeah. I said, Megan, you want to work 3 days a week and get paid for 4 days a week. This is what it would look like. This is the production number I need. Okay. And you're not going to do it by doing more hygiene because I don't want that philosophy in my practice.
Right. We're not trying to just cram patients.
We're not trying to cram people in. Right. So I said, now you got to start looking at different procedures that you can do and produce that will allow our business to have the production from you without you having to be here so much.
To replace that production.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, man.
I talked too much.
It's been awesome. Good, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a good show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, man. It was a lot of fun.
And, you know, we'll get to we've been challenged a lot on the show, obviously, and we're going to be talking a lot about this, I'm sure, on future shows as far as what this means for us and for our listeners. Give us some feedback. Go check out
what does this mean for us, though? I mean, you just said a disruptive comment because
that's your plan of action.
Right.
Right.
What is our plan of action?
Yeah, we got to get our mind around that. We're going to have to talk more about this, but I would definitely encourage you guys. You know, obviously, as you've heard from Dr. Agarwal, you know, this is somebody that is worth checking out. I know he's not here pitching his stuff, but we do want you to go check him out and find out how you may be able to benefit in your practice from what he is doing and learn to be a better dentist, maybe to have your practice disrupted like he just disrupted ours.
You know?
So,
and always take it to the next level.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.